Hey, this is Dr. Jenna Bice with Heal at Home Moms. This is the podcast where we discuss all things motherhood and postpartum issues, but also just all things pelvic floor, basically the things that I tackle in my job that I think that all moms around the world should get to know. And that's what we talk about here. So let's take a listen. All right, well, today we have Carissa Kay, and she's with I Love Us Relationship and Intimacy Counseling.
Yes, ma'am.
AKA sex therapy.
That's right.
And that's right. I am so excited. Well, because my job and your job mm-hmm. often go hand in hand. Because, mm-hmm. for instance, if someone has pelvic pain and they can't have sex because of pain, mm-hmm. I might deal with the physical aspect, mm-hmm. right, of muscle tightness and that Absolutely. Types of stuff. But then there's a lot of emotional stuff.
Emotional, psychological, some of the physical I can coach people through, mm-hmm. But you're obviously the more hands-on approach. I'm yeah, more coaching.
Yes.
We're going to coach and send you home for lab.
Yeah. So as far as what we're going to talk about today is mm-hmm. I really love giving practical information for totally. People listening at home. Mm-hmm. And like we already said, there are physical and emotional and hormonal, mm-hmm. all sorts of reasons mm-hmm. why. Relationship mm-hmm. dynamics mm-hmm. change so much once you add mm-hmm. a baby into mm-hmm. the mix, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Parents disagreeing about how to parent, mm-hmm. sleep cycles. Mm-hmm. I mean, you name it. There's mm-hmm. stress in a lot of different mm-hmm. ways. But of course, intimacy mm-hmm. is tricky because it's also an important part of a relationship.
That's right.
And so people trying to figure out how to get back into that both mm-hmm. on all the levels. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I love this is something I feel like people don't talk enough about. Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited that we're talking about it today absolutely. Because it is very needed.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And it's so private and vulnerable. A lot of people aren't sure how to reach out for help and what to expect if they do reach out for help. Cause they might feel embarrassed, or a lot of people I hear, well, I thought I was the only one. Mm-hmm. So I think normalizing and educating is really empowering for people to say, hey, I want to reach out and get help. Like y'all with the pelvic floor and the work mm-hmm. you do, like a lot of people don't know what the pelvic floor is. And a lot of people don't know what sex therapy is, but once you kind of do the research and find a competent professional to work with, mm-hmm. so many people are like, oh my gosh, I wish I would have done this sooner.
And that's yeah.
all the feedback that we typically get is, man, I wish I had done this 20 years ago. I wish I had done this 35 years ago. Our sex life would be so different. Or the pelvic floor piece, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I could have dealt with this pain disorder so much sooner and been enjoying myself so much sooner yeah. if we had just done this.
Well, because it does build up, right? Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I know that, for instance, so if someone has a baby and maybe it's pain, maybe it's just exhaustion, but say that reentering into a sexual relationship with their partner is challenging and they don't deal with that, mm-hmm. right? Or mm-hmm. reach out and ask questions,
mm-hmm. yep.
Then sometimes that can snowball.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. So it's always it's really important to, if you guys do have questions, make mm-hmm. sure and find someone in your area. Or do you do telehealth
I
as
do.
Well?
Yeah, for the state of Tennessee. Yeah.
Awesome.
And okay. I have intensives, so if people want to come in from out of state, I can work with them that way as well.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I know you see people in Chattanooga, mm-hmm. but then also yeah. telehealth for anyone in Tennessee.
That's right.
But yes, these are the types of issues that I hope in our society we mm-hmm. start
addressing
head yes. on and yep. a little more proactively. Just because it's another one of those things that it's like, it never is bad to eat some healthy food, get good mm-hmm. sleep, mm-hmm. exercise. Mm-hmm. It's also never bad to get good advice and help with your sexual relationship.
Absolutely. Yes.
So talking about some practical advice for moms at home, and it's not just new moms.
Right.
But we're kind of going to talk in two sections today. One about motherhood and mm-hmm. sexuality and some advice for all of you moms who maybe want a better sex life.
Sure. Yep.
And then we also want to talk about women with pelvic pain.
Yep, sure.
And that not being exclusive to mothers.
That's right.
But first, mm-hmm. mamas, let's just go ahead and assume first time mom.
Okay.
They just saw their doctor at 6 weeks mm-hmm. And they were clear to go back to sex.
Uh-huh.
And then whether it be pain or just, like you said, stress. Mm-hmm. The first time back is never a great experience.
Okay. Yes. Well,
even if you had yeah. a C-section, that's another, sure. I think, myth. Just physically,
yeah.
your pelvic floor went through a lot of
trauma.
Trauma.
Yeah.
even if you had a C-section, because mm-hmm. really the pelvic floor disruption comes from, yes, the birth, but 9 months of having a baby sit on your pelvic floor.
Hello. Yeah, absolutely.
So there is usually pain the first time, no matter what. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. what advice would you give?
Some practical pointers on
yes.
that? So in general, women need a lot of relating and they need a lot of foreplay. So not all, but stereotypically, women need a slower startup. And I spend a lot of time coaching husbands on slowing things way down and starting with things like kissing. Brush your teeth, wash your beard, shave your face, do whatever your wife enjoys or your female partner enjoys as far as kissing, because kissing is very powerful for women. So there's a bioactive testosterone in the saliva of men that triggers sexual arousal in the brains of women. And so a lot of women, there's this chemical pheromone thing going on there that they're like, suddenly I'm in the mood. I wasn't in the mood before, but now that we're kissing and having a good makeout session like we did when we first were dating, mm-hmm. we first met, we can much more readily become in the mood or open to the idea of being intimate. So nice. A lot of guys, according to the research, are happy to skip past kissing and go right into intercourse. They start grabbing like the level 3 erogenous zones, nipples, clitoris, vulva, and women are like, oh, I need you to slow way down. There's so much more to play with and enjoy.
Back up.
So I always say start from the face and work your way down for men. Like pretty simple formula, unless women like, you know, a foot rub, then get in there and rub some feet too. So feet are, it can be important to help women relax. So women need to relax. So the parasympathetic nervous system, our rest and digest, has to be engaged to become sexually aroused. We have to relax to become sexually aroused. So if you're anxious, if you're exhausted, if the woman's looking around and seeing the nest, quote unquote, is just in disarray and her brain can't calm down, because a woman's brain at rest is still 90% active. If her brain can't rest, she's not going to be in the mood. She's not going to be receptive to her partner's advances. So if the husband or the male partner can hop in and like help tidy up and do some things around the house to like set the nest up to be successful and peaceful, her brain and her body can start to chill out and okay, we're good.
And be more open to it. Yeah.
Be more open to it. So kissing, foreplay, making sure the atmosphere is that works for her, because again, women are still being flooded with hormones. If they are breastfeeding or if they're not breastfeeding, they're still flooded with hormones. So there's the postpartum thing you have to worry about with the hormonal floods for women. And if they're struggling with new anxiety and or depression, hormones majorly impact sex drive and sex desire. And if she's going to be sexually responsive. So the more that you can keep tabs on, you know, keeping that anxiety or that depression in check, that's going to be really important as well. So there are a lot of different things that impact a woman's psyche about whether or not she's going to be open to intimacy and thus physically respond. Does that make sense? So if the brain is the most powerful sex organ, then what can a woman and her partner do to help them set her brain up for success so that her body can relax and respond? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it is absolutely going to be more painful. Like lubrication is going to be more difficult.
Like you said, her body may not respond.
Totally.
So because her mind is somewhere else.
That's right. She's got a new baby. Is the baby going to be okay if we do this? I hear that a lot from women. Oh, I just feel bad. What if they're not okay? And I say, it's okay. Like when you're good, your baby's good. When mom was healthy and relating and taking care of herself in every other way and setting the baby down for a nap, it's okay. And your husband and your marriage and your sex life need attention too.
Yes.
Right?
Like so, long-term, that's helpful for your child.
That's right. Children need secure attachment. So the healthier the couple is, the healthier the baby in theory is going to be emotionally, relationally, cognitively. So yeah, the nest, the foreplay is really a big deal. Women on average, if they are going to orgasm during intercourse, take 15 to 45 minutes. Oftentimes with a lot of clitoral stimulation, not necessarily direct, but being curious and exploratory about like how she enjoys pleasure in that way. So circular motions and softer touches usually work better for women if she's going to move towards orgasm. But again, 15 to 45 minutes, men on average take 2 to 3 minutes when they're actively thrusting. There's a major discrepancy there. So again, I always have to coach husbands. You need to slow down and let your woman set the pace. Let your female partner set the pace.
Well, and I think the freedom that it may be different than it was before babies. I think that's probably the thing that's most surprising.
Okay.
Is that women are like, okay, I was cleared. And they're either afraid or they're super excited.
Sure.
But, like, they're either like, or they're like, yes, you know.
Yes.
But they're like, I was cleared. Or, oh no, I was cleared. Like, how's this going to be? But both of those, I think usually it's, I mean, your body did go through a lot of changes.
Totally.
And so it is different. I think either of those things, it's like, And so like you said, maybe also like realizing the expectations that the mm-hmm. first, I mean, time. So it's normal, by the way, from a physical therapy standpoint.
Yeah.
It's normal to have pain the first time or two. Mm-hmm. You should expect to have to use mm-hmm. lubricant, especially yeah. if you, for instance, if you tore during yeah. delivery,
yeah.
Or if you are nursing, which mm-hmm. a lot of moms are at six mm-hmm. weeks, especially. Mm-hmm. And so you need some lubrication because otherwise... Sorry.
Yep.
Your body's just not as receptive.
Yeah.
But after that, mm-hmm. there should not be much pain.
Right.
So That's if there right. is, it can easily be treated
yep.
with physical therapy.
Yep.
So find a good physical therapist and they can help you with that pronto. Mm-hmm. But that's not an area you need to sit in.
That's right.
I had a patient recently who she told her doctor mm-hmm. after an episiotomy, mm-hmm. She told her doctor that they tried to have sex again. And she's one of those who was excited. Mm-hmm. And he was like, she was like, oh, it's so painful. We couldn't. Mm-hmm. So painful. Mm-hmm. And he was like, okay, we'll give it like 6 months. Mm-hmm.
6 months. Good Lord.
And he was like, and she was like,
no, no, we would like to connect before then.
But so, yes. But, you know, but actually yeah. I think it's fairly common for there to be some sort of, you know, people try to get back into it and mm-hmm. then there's some sort of barrier That's and right. then, and then that path becomes a really long path.
And I think again, because people aren't educated. So there's yes. a whole behavioral process that I, in sex therapy, coach couples through in terms of progressions of touching. And it's like non-sexual touch, working back into sexual touch, again, mm. slowing the process way down.
That's nice. So just enjoying yes, some...
Just enjoying touch for the sake of touch.
So by that, you even mean like...
A facial if you're
both,
caress.
If you're both exhausted, if you're watching a TV show together, cuddle.
Yeah.
Back rub.
Yeah.
Just things...
Naked shower, no sex, no intercourse, no oral sex, just hang out naked.
Just skin on intimate. Skin.
Yeah. Just connect physically. And usually that...
And getting adjusted to your body Absolutely. After baby.
Yep.
And letting him do the same.
Yes. But also I think as far as partners of new mamas go or moms in general, like the more women can be reassured that their body is lovely and still sexy and enjoyable, like the more confident she's going to feel. So mm-hmm. again, if the top two factors that impact sexual desire are body image, which we know as women, it's hard every day in a culture that's inundated with continued messages of this is what you're supposed to be and look like, that's a ton of pressure already. Mm-hmm. And then post baby, bodies change. You and I have talked about that before.
Yeah.
So the more a partner can say, hey, you're beautiful. Hey, I think you're sexy. Hey, I think your nursing breasts are great. You know, that kind of fun stuff. Or I love your hips. Or, I think it's,
yeah. And mm-hmm. also from a female standpoint, mm-hmm. from the woman's like mm-hmm. embracing the fact that your mm-hmm. body just did something freaking incredible.
Freaking incredible.
And
yes.
you should be so proud of your body, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. for yes. all of the reasons.
Absolutely.
Right. But I think there's a sense of being timid about like, oh, you know, and it's like, sure. no, own it.
That's right.
Be proud
yes.
of it.
Yes. And surround yourself with messages that reinforce that.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Like
yeah.
the brain priming every day that a lot of, when I work with women around body image in general, I'll say, well, what are you feeding your brain every day? Are you on certain social media outlets that are constantly saying, this is what you need to be. This is what, you know, like, so I work in a gym. And so there's this constant pressure of we're supposed to look like this as blank. And I think we do that as women. And so after women have babies, wherever their body's at, like you're saying, find resources and influences, cognitive influences that will daily say, you're beautiful. You should feel empowered. Yes. You just did something freaking amazing
yes.
versus I got to lose this immediately and I'm never going to be sexy and I can't turn anybody on. I mean, does yeah. that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And that's where I do love, there's a movement right now through social media.
Uh-huh.
Of course, there's still a lot of the perfect body sure. you know, stuff.
Sure.
But they're totally like unrealistic for 99.9%
yeah.
of us.
That's right. That's right.
But there's more and more women showing real postpartum
yes.
pictures. And
yes.
it's like, yes.
It's awesome.
Yes.
It's normalizing. So, it's validating.
So learning to appreciate your body mm-hmm. both for what it's done, but also for its sexual aspect.
Yeah.
In that season of life.
Yes.
Okay. And I love, like you said, nesting, mm-hmm. stress. So mm-hmm. the parasympathetic nervous system, mm-hmm. you kind of talked about how that helps the sexual mm-hmm. Libido kick in.
Absolutely.
But that also makes a lot of sense because it also helps increase blood flow to the pelvic floor.
That's exactly right.
So from anatomical
yeah,
stance,
it, right.
that parasympathetic nervous system mm-hmm. is that rest and digest.
That's right.
It helps
vasodilation.
It helps mm-hmm. you heal.
Yep.
Physically,
yep.
it helps all sorts of good things.
Yeah.
We talk about on Instagram, I think this past week, we even had something about diaphragmatic and parasympathetic breathing techniques.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. And so you can also think of that as something to help recenter.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for your pelvic floor, but it's mm-hmm. good for mm-hmm. bringing you back home mentally.
That's right.
To your relationship and your partner,
yeah.
you were saying, just another one of those reminders
yeah.
that
oh, yeah.
cleaning the house, mm-hmm. doing laundry, helping you take a nap.
She should not be doing most of the emotional laboring, is what we call it, emotional labor. And there are certain cultural nuances in different parts of the world, different parts of the United States, where women are expected to do more domestically than men are. And I've actually listened to other women from different society, like Middle Eastern societies, talk about, you in America set your new mamas up for postpartum. You set them up for failure because you say,
Do everything
all by yourself and don't ask for help. And the rest of the world is living in a tribe or a community where the grandmother, the aunt, and the best friend take the baby so mom can sleep and rest and heal. Or they can go out on a date and reconnect now that she's gone through labor. Whereas here in the States, it's all by yourself. Don't ask for help. Be independent and figure out how to be this new person in this new role with a hormonal flood and try to please your husband. Like, that's impossible.
Yes.
It's impossible. It's too much for women.
So your partner has to take ownership in that.
Absolutely. It's a team effort.
Yeah.
It's a total team effort. And the more that women feel supported relationally, I coach husbands, listen, you want to win with your wife, like show up and serve her and love her and take care of her. That's like some of the best foreplay you're going to offer your wife. Because our hearts and our vaginas are connected as women. So if our hearts are open, there's usually things that follow suit. And that is a fact. So absolutely.
I like that.
Yes. So to that anxiety piece, Jen, I wanted to tie in what you do a little bit, because I've had a number of new pain disorders coming in, but also levels of anxiety have been through the roof for people. For a number,
COVID, for one, yeah.
I mean, all the things that have happened in 2020.
Yeah. but yeah, let's not list them.
Yes, no. We'll just blanket statement that. But as you know, with your work, like that anxiety hangs out in the pelvic floor. And so like, vaginismus, bladders that are spasming. What is it? Yeah. Hypertonic. What's it called?
Hypertonicity of the pelvic floor. Yes. Or there's vulvodynia. Yes,
absolutely.
There's just a number of pain syndromes. Yes.
That can be connected to anxiety.
Absolutely.
And our bodies, I'm learning and teaching more and more how much our bodies, and especially our pelvic floor for women, hold emotion. Like our hips are very, like Latin cultures, you think about how emotional they are, and you think about how fluid their hips move, because emotionally they're always emoting and they're open with it. Versus like if I'm coaching, to be very stereotypical here, if I'm coaching a type A, very analytical white male in the gym, and I'm trying to get him to lift, like, you know, do a snatch or a power clean and open his hips up, they tend to be very locked up because culturally they're not allowed to emote. So there is this connection between the pelvic floor, hips, and emotions. And so like
I like it. Yeah,
totally. Totally. And I've experienced it at the acupuncture and dry needling and the release that people, like if you dry needle to a certain place or you hit a meridian, you start crying or you start laughing, like our bodies hold emotion. And so for women with their anxiety and depression in general, but definitely with a new baby, like be attentive to how that could very well be impacting pelvic pain.
Absolutely. Pain with sex.
Does that make sense?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like you said, we work with that physical aspect all the time.
Yep.
And honestly, then refer out for the emotional.
Well, y'all are doing your own kind of therapy for sure. Like that's super vulnerable.
Like you said, with that, the deep breathing is something I harp on a lot just because it is so connected. So if we're doing needling to release tension, we also need to talk through breath work.
Absolutely.
And stretching and meditation even. I mean, that's about as far as I go.
Yeah.
But, yes. So I think it's important for us to note that lots of women struggle with pelvic pain that have not had children. I mean, it's very common to deal with some pelvic pain after a delivery with maybe some trauma. But then also we want to make sure that women at every season of life feel open to gaining something about their intimacy or their pelvic floor.
For sure.
From this talk. So let's dive a little bit into that.
Okay.
So if someone has some form of pelvic floor dysfunction. So first of all, let's note that pain is not normal.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So it may be common to have maybe one episode of pain trying to have sex after having baby, but that should ease up quickly and it should not be something that persists.
That's right.
There's two types of pain when it comes to sex, where it's people who've always had pain with sex their entire lives. And then there's people who it develops later in life. Both of them can be treated. And we should not be willing to accept pain with this, because for many reasons, most women then have a very negative relationship with intimacy. I mean, why would they want that?
Absolutely. Well, when you start, that's what we say in the field in sex therapy. It's you'd never want to pair sex and pain together because it's going to shut you down very quickly. Like our brains are hardwired to protect us and for survival, first and foremost. So if there's something that's painful, my brain goes, "Bip, no more." So every time my partner approaches me for sex, everything starts to tense up and mm-hmm. more and more my body shuts down and is like, don't touch me. Don't do this. Cause this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt. Mm-hmm. And then we get into like this negative feedback loop where all of a sudden we're totally shut down and there's a case of vaginismus. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I don't know necessarily where you want me to go with this, but different types of pelvic pain that I've seen or pain with sex.
Well, so let's, instead of getting into the specific diagnosis, mm-hmm. let's maybe talk about if someone, just a little more general. Mm-hmm. So for instance, if someone is having pain with initial penetration, mm-hmm. I can teach them how to stretch those muscles mm-hmm. or we can stretch those muscles or... If I'm doing something with telehealth, mm-hmm. I can talk them through it or mm-hmm. even talk them through how to use dilators. Mm-hmm. These are all things that we can do from a muscle perspective.
Yeah.
However, what is some of the typical, and of course, no one's cookie cutter,
right.
but what are some of the typical things you've found are helpful as far as some cueing or things to think through yeah. or advice for even their partners?
Yeah. So this is a big one. And it's going to go back to, again, the relational piece and how everything's connected for us as women. So one, when people come in and say, I'm having pain during sex, I want to do all the assessment I can from my field of expertise, so to speak, staying in my lane and ask about where their hormones at. Hormones are huge for mm-hmm. women, huge. And they impact us at every stage of our sexual development into postmenopause. And so it impacts our tissue, it impacts our drive, our desire, our ability to orgasm, lubrication.
And of course, estrogen is low in a lot of mm-hmm. women when they're nursing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so...
Yep. So culturally, a lot of women are very stressed. And then you have now the family dynamics that create stress. And not all stress is good stress. Some is and some is not. But the stress that wipes out your hormones is pretty common, unfortunately, in America. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of women, their testosterone gets wiped out. Or their progesterone's off, or they've been on birth control and now they're not. So their hormones are still imbalanced. So I always, if I could go back and be an endocrinologist and a sex therapist, I always say I would have a gold mine.
Yeah, it'd be a great combination yes, like right there.
The hormones for women are...
Why don't you do that?
I'm going to. I'm after this podcast, I'm going to. I'm going to med school stat.
No biggie. Yeah.
But seriously, hormones are such a key factor for women and how our bodies respond. And if I'm even in the mood, and if I am in the mood, then physiologically, will I lubricate or will that erectile tissue even become aroused? So that things like the O shot, PRP injections into the clitoris and the vagina have formulated from women not responding physically. And so you always want to look at, is it a hormone imbalance? Are there any hormones to even work with?
And by the way, those of you listening, if you go back a couple episodes, we have one on pelvic pain with mm-hmm. Dr. Jill Kraft. Mm-hmm. And she's a specialist when it comes to vulvar pain. Uh-huh. And so she dives into some of the hormonal mm-hmm. aspects mm-hmm. and even the roles birth control can play. Yes. So she's a great resource as well. If you yep. want a little more insight as far as
she's fantastic.
A doctor's perspective on the hormone aspect yes. of pain.
Yep. So hormones are huge. Relationally, if I'm thinking about how is my relationship with my partner, because again, if I'm responding, my heart's open and then my body wants to open. If I have resentment towards my partner, if I feel hurt, if there's any kind of abuse going on, my body's going to close down and my body's going to say, you're not allowed in, you're not safe. So for women to truly engage in intimacy, they have to feel safe with their partner. And so if there's something relationally that makes them feel neglected, they got their feelings hurt, et cetera, women are going to shut down sexually. That's just how we're wired. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at hormones. I'm looking at relational stuff. I'm looking at levels of stress. You know, like I talked about before, like, is their pelvic floor holding a lot of stress? Are they high achievers? Are they type A personalities? Are they go, go, go all the time? And then their nervous system never down regulates. A lot of the time I'll say, I want you to go do some acupuncture and let me know how your bladder spasms are responding. If they're postmenopausal, like I have a lot of women that say it feels like razor blades during intercourse. Well, that's pretty common for, how do you say it? Dyspareunia. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. a fun word. That's pretty common. A lot of women that are postmenopause feel like, and so we'll talk about just using lubrication.
All that word means is painful sex.
Yes. But painful like intercourse.
That big word is just pain with sex. I mean, that's literally all it means.
Yeah.
So it's not actually a real diagnosis. It's not getting at, I mean, it's very commonly done, mm-hmm. but it's not getting at to why.
Right.
It's just right. just stating what's right. happening.
That's right.
Like pelvic floor hypertonicity, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So all that means is the muscles in the pelvic floor are tight.
Yes.
Too tighter than they're supposed to be.
Yes.
So, and for instance, and some little PT input here too. Mm-hmm. So we generally recommend, unless you're being treated hands-on by a physical therapist mm-hmm. for the pelvic floor, if mm-hmm. you're having pain with sex, mm-hmm. don't go do your Kegels.
Right.
Right.
That's right.
Like we need to be working on down, regulating.
That's right.
So calming things down, mm-hmm. learning how to relax, mm-hmm. de-stress, mm-hmm. deep breathe, yep. not tighten.
Yep.
So that's very helpful. And then you were kind of mentioning women holding tension in their mm-hmm. pelvic floor. Mm-hmm. So if you are someone who's having pain with sex and you also have TMJ dysfunction, mm-hmm. like tightness mm-hmm. in your jaw, mm-hmm. or you grind your teeth.
Yep.
Or notice a lot of tension, headaches, or in the upper traps.
Totally.
Those areas in your body are linked to the muscles in your pelvic floor. So if you're clenching your jaw, you're probably also clenching your pelvic floor.
That's right.
You just may not have enough awareness of those muscles mm-hmm. to know that. But mm-hmm. I always do a little practice where if people listening, if you tighten your pelvic floor, we're trying to do a Kegel, uh-huh. and then you tighten the jaw uh-huh. and it fills together uh-huh. and then try to let go of one without the other. Mm-hmm. It's tricky, right? Like totally. They, and then vice versa. Yeah. And so it depends how in tune you are with those muscles.
That's right.
But it is, if you were tightening one, you are also probably tightening the yep, other.
Absolutely. So a lot of women, it's stress. And again, like I said in the beginning, a lot of it's just me coaching people on being more intentional about foreplay, like quit rushing into intercourse. Quickies typically don't work long-term for women. The relational piece is so huge as far as women feeling safe, feeling loved, feeling connected, feeling like they're attractive, you know, so the more that their partner can engage them relationally and take care of them, you know, I, as a marriage therapist, talk a lot about love languages. That's a thing. So if your partner's speaking your love languages regularly, let's say your acts of service and quality time, and he's vacuuming, carrying the babies and sitting with you on the couch, that's probably going to fill your love tank. You're going to be more in the mood to continue connecting to that next physical level. But a lot of time when people come in and they tell me about pelvic floor pain, it can be an easy fix in terms of like where your hormones at. A lot of women that are perimenopausal or menopausal, just needing a different kind of lubrication or getting on a DHEA supplement with a few other supplements that we use to help with keeping that tissue ready and available. And then just kind of slowing things down and coaching their partner into what they need more of to lead up to actual intercourse. Because the other part is for women, just because a woman lubricates doesn't mean she's emotionally ready for intercourse. And so a lot of men don't know that. A lot of women don't even know that. So sometimes women's bodies are responding, but they're like not mentally there. They're not emotionally there. They don't feel. And so I hear a lot from women, well, I just feel used. I just feel used. Mm. I hear enough from women, I just feel used. And it's often because men aren't slowing down enough to really connect and prioritize his female partner's pleasure. Because it takes longer. It's too much work. And then they put pressure on themselves and they just shut down. Well, you just get yours. You just take care of you.
Yeah, that doesn't work very well long-term for relationships.
No, not especially when you have a clitoris that's made just for pleasure. It's 8,000 nerve endings, and the only purpose it has is just to bring a woman pleasure.
So I think after having a baby, too, a lot mm-hmm. of women themselves are uncomfortable with embracing their bodies.
Okay.
So I think that just encouraging women that as you get comfortable with your anatomy, even as it's changed mm-hmm. with your baby, mm-hmm. That's also going to help the success mm-hmm. for your partner.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Cause that's another interesting phenomenon is I'll have couples come in and the husband will be like, I think my wife is so sexy. I love her naked body. I loved it before babies. I love it now. I loved it when she was 18. I love it now that she's 35. Like she's beautiful. She's sexy in all these different seasons. But if women don't feel sexy, it still matters. Women yeah. have to feel confident to want to get naked.
And some of that self work, right?
100%.
Like it's always, of course, very helpful to have your spouse speaking that into you, but you also have to have confidence in yourself and thank your body as well.
Absolutely.
Like you said, fill it up with good messages.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Jenna.
All the things. And
I hope this feels helpful for people listening.
Oh, I'm sure. We need to talk more about this. I think that, like we said, in the postpartum culture, people mm-hmm. think postpartum and mm-hmm. they only think of one section. Mm-hmm. And there's so many different aspects mm-hmm. we need to be mm-hmm. taking care of. The mind, the body, all those things.
Sex life.
Sex mm-hmm. life.
Can I end with this?
Yes.
Jenna, couples who talk about their sex life regularly have better sex. Research has shown the more you talk about your sex life, typically the better sex you have. So if nothing else, I just want to encourage people, just start talking to your partner about it. Like start using language, or if you're not comfortable, then hire a sex therapist or hire somebody that can coach you on how to use language. Because the more you talk about your sex life, research says the better sex you're going to have.
There you go. And I don't know anyone who doesn't want better sex. So start talking about it.
Cheers.
And I will leave Chris's information in the description of this podcast so you can find her. And of course, I'll be tagging you through social media. All right. Thank you so much for talking with us, Jenna, and sharing your wisdom.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Heal at Home Moms. I'm Dr. Jenna Bice. If you need any further help, you are welcome to find us on healathomemoms.com. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and I also offer telehealth for those of you far away who need some one-on-one consultation. and in-person concierge mobile physical therapy. So if you are in the Chattanooga, Tennessee area and you are looking to heal, I am here for you.